Let's open the Holy Scriptures together to John chapter 18. We will begin reading at verse 28 and read through chapter 19, verse 22. And the last handful of verses in chapter 19 will be our text. So let us hear the word of God beginning at John 18, verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them, and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? When he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again, and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat, in a place which is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. Now we begin the words of our text. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can well imagine the flurry of events and all that went on that Friday morning when our Lord Jesus Christ was led from the judgment seat of Pontius Pilate to the hill of the skull, Golgotha, outside the walls of Jerusalem, and was crucified. So many things happened, so many words spoken, so much activity, and yet the gospel accounts only record a handful of facts about what took place that day. But the handful of facts that's recorded in the gospel is what God in his wisdom has judged sufficient for us to know, so that the gospels are the complete and sufficient revelation of Jesus Christ to us and what he has done for us. And absolutely everything recorded upon the pages of the scriptures is important and there for a purpose. And that is true of what we consider for a short while tonight, this Good Friday evening. One of the striking little facts that is recorded not only in the Gospel of John, but in all four of the Gospels, is the superscription that was placed upon Jesus' cross and the words upon that superscription. And as we read that superscription and as we look at it tonight, we will see there was no accident, no incident, no chance, no happenstance at Calvary, but everything happened according to the plan and the purpose of God for our salvation. The title upon the cross, that's our theme tonight, the title upon the cross. We're first going to look at the fact that the title upon the cross was a revealing superscription. Secondly, that there was a divine purpose behind it. And then finally, we will see that this title upon the cross was in fact a gospel proclamation. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. So begins our text. What was this title? Well, the four gospel writers use different words to describe it, which help us understand what it was and what it was for. Luke 23, verse 38 says, "A superscription also was written over him." And a superscription is a writing that is placed above. It was a piece of wood, a board, perhaps with white plaster or paint upon it. And then there was writing inscribed upon this piece of wood, and it was affixed to the uppermost part of the crossbeam above the head of the person who was being crucified on that cross. Mark 15, verse 26 tells us a little more. "And the superscription of his accusation was written over." And Matthew 27, 37 says that set up over his head was his accusation written. And those two verses tell us the content as well as the purpose of this superscription that was placed upon the top of Jesus' cross. an accusation. The purpose was that this superscription would serve as a public testimony or a written statement for all to read of the crime for which this person on the cross was being executed. That's the idea of title here in John 19, verse 19. It was a public notice of a person's charge, that on account of which they had been condemned to death. It was the custom of the day, not only for a condemned criminal who had been sentenced to die by crucifixion to carry their cross from the place of judgment to the place of execution, but it was also customary for an accusation of this sort to be affixed above the head of the crucified criminal, not only to add yet another aspect of suffering and shame to the brutal death that they would experience, but to make them a public example. The Roman government was always interested in instilling fear in its subjects to deter other would-be offenders with grisly spectacles such as these. And so it was not unusual what we read in our text in verse 19 when it says, Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. Likely the meaning of that is Pilate himself, as the judge, wrote this title, wrote this superscription, and delivered it to the overseeing centurion who is in charge of the executions of that day. And the centurion would have carried this superscription to Golgotha. And after Jesus was put upon the cross, the soldiers would have affixed this superscription on the top of the cross and then lifted the cross and planted it in the hole in the ground that would hold it upright. The text says the writing on this superscription was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. That was the content of the accusation. Those were the words written. Written to be read by as many people as possible. As the text says in verse 20, it was written in Hebrew, in Greek, and in Latin. That is, all of the major languages spoken in that part of the world. Hebrew, or at that time Aramaic, was the language spoken by the Jews. Latin was the language of the official administration of the Roman government, and Greek was the widely spoken language in that part of the world, the language of the Gentiles all around the land of Israel. And so this was a public statement that was put on the top of Jesus' cross, meant to be read by all of the different people who would be coming into the city at this time. Remember, it was the time of Passover. And there were undoubtedly streams of pilgrims traveling that road that skirted around Golgotha and went into the city of Jerusalem. People who spoke different languages, Hebrew, Greek, Latin. All could read it. All could understand it. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This is no incidental detail recorded in the gospel history. The title upon the cross is something most significant. It is a most revealing superscription. There's especially three things that I want to call our attention to that come out here as we read the superscription that was affixed to Jesus' cross. In the first place, the title, upon the cross. What is so striking about it is its utter truthfulness. The superscription speaks the truth. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. It precisely identifies who this man upon the cross is. Jesus, the King of the Jews. The superscription identifies him. A real man. Jesus of Nazareth, from a real place, with real human ties, flesh and blood like we are. the King of the Jews. Pilate's title reveals the true title of Jesus. He is the King. He is the King come down from heaven to establish his kingdom. And that title that is written and placed on the top of the cross is a title laden with spiritual significance, laden with messianic implications, laden with the hope of the ages. It is not the title of just another king. It is the title of the promised king whom God said would arise in the fullness of time, would arise out of the very center of the covenant people, from the royal line of David, the Savior King who would bring the kingdom of heaven. That's why Jesus became a real man, became the Nazarene, to save his people from their sins. He was born a king. Did not Gabriel say to Mary at the Annunciation, "The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end"? Did not the Magi go through all of Jerusalem asking, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews"? Did not the crowds at the beginning of this very week acclaim Jesus as he rode into the city upon the donkey's back? "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." Had not Pilate just asked, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And Jesus declares, "My kingdom is not of this world." The superscription written by Pilate is in fact the truthful declaration of who Jesus is. And that's striking. But now, second, the title upon the cross is striking because it also reveals and confirms Jesus, our King's perfect innocence, his guiltlessness, his sinlessness. It is indeed amazing what this title upon the cross actually says. It simply identifies the man upon the cross, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. But what's also astounding is what the superscription does not say. It's a title of accusation, but where is the accusation? If you were to look to Jesus' left or to Jesus' right and look up to the top of those two crosses planted on either side of him, you likely would have seen other superscriptions. It's possible, because the Bible doesn't mention it, that there were no superscriptions on the crosses of the two criminals crucified beside Jesus. That's possible. And then all the more attention would be directed to the superscription on Christ's cross. But given the custom of the day, it's likely that there were superscriptions above those men too. And those superscriptions may not have even gave the name of the criminals, because condemned criminals have no name. But you certainly would have read there, "Thief." The accusation, the crime for which these men were being put to death. But you look to Jesus' superscription and you ask, where's the crime? Where's the accusation? None is written, because there was none. The very superscription that was supposed to display the guilt of this man before the eyes of the world instead displays the innocence of the Christ in stark relief before the eyes of all, so that everyone, whether Hebrew-speaking or Greek-speaking or Latin-speaking, could read this declaration of the innocence of the Christ as he hung upon the cross. Everyone knew what a superscription was supposed to say. It would be lost upon none who read it. The absence of the least accusation. Jesus is the King of the Jews. Try as his enemies might and say what they would, They could not get any accusation to stick. Their contrived charges were see-through, and even unbelieving Pilate knew it. He knew that for envy they had delivered him 3 times in John 18. John 19, Pilate says, "I find no fault in him." The very superscription upon the cross is a most marvelous declaration of the sinlessness of our Savior setting before us as we read it. He is the qualified mediator, able to bear the sins of his people, for he had no sin of his own. There he is upon the cross, not because he deserves it. He's there upon the cross as our sin bearer for our sins, not his. Innocently condemned to death, that you and me and all who by grace believe upon his name might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. Thirdly, putting the first two things that the superscription reveals together, first is it sets forth Jesus' identity as the true messianic king. Secondly, it sets forth his innocence. And now third, the title upon the cross does in fact reveal the real reason Jesus was condemned to die. Not for what he did, but for who he is. He is innocent of every crime, and yet he was crucified. Why? What is the explanation? Precisely because of who he is. He is Christ the King. And ultimately, that is the accusation against him. That is why his enemies hated him and persecuted him for who he is, because he is Christ the King. You go back to the recent events right before the history of Good Friday, and you see this come out in stark relief, how the Sanhedrin, the collected leaders of the church of that day, gathered together and tried everything to get an accusation to stick to Jesus. But they couldn't even get their false witnesses to agree until finally the chief priest demanded of Jesus, "Tell us, are you the Son of God?" And Jesus simply spoke the truth. And the effect was a hypocritical and sanctimonious display in which the high priest tore his clothes and cried out blasphemy. And there was the charge for which Christ would be brought to Pontius Pilate, charged with the crime of being the Christ. You read in John 19, verse 7, they say to Pilate, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." There you see the horrid rejection of the Christ of God by the nation of Israel, and it's the rejection of every man by nature. This is what man by nature thinks of Christ. It's only by grace that we see anything else. Christ. But ultimately, and this is what we're going to see more as we transition into the second point, God is behind all of these things. God is at work, and that's ultimately the reason why Jesus is upon the cross and why the charge, the accusation against him is, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." That is precisely why he is there. Not just because his hateful enemies wanted him destroyed, but ultimately it's because God sent him into the world for this. And God the Son willingly came and clothed himself in our human nature and was born a real man, God in the flesh, that he might go here, that he might live a life aimed at the hill of Golgotha and its cross. Christ came to die upon this cross because he is the Christ. He hangs upon the cross. Jesus was delivered according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, Acts 2, verse 23 says. This is the culmination of God's great plan of redemption. Christ came for this work. He is the King who came to establish His kingdom in the most marvelous way, not through strength of arms, but by dying upon the cross. He is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, meaning He is the Lamb ordained to this work, and in the fullness of time He comes and He performs this work. The King who comes and suffers, and through that suffering enters into His glory, and because of that suffering brings many sons and many daughters into His glory with Him. The superscription. What a revealing superscription it is. By God's own design. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. By divine design, there's God and His purpose behind all of these things, behind all of these events. And that comes out especially in the rest of the text, verses 20, 21, and 22. Where John describes the back and forth between Pontius Pilate and the high priests and leaders of the Jews. Pilate had his own purposes for writing the superscription as he did. He had his own motives. But ultimately, it was the finger of God who wrote these words. As truly as the finger of God wrote the words of the law upon the tablets of stone. Pilate had no faith in Christ, nor had Pilate any love for Him, but Pilate could see plainly that Jesus was an innocent man. And though Pilate conceded to the high priests of the Jews and caved to their pressure when they threatened him, "You are no friend of Caesar if you let this man go. He claims to be a king, and anyone who claims to be a king is an enemy of Caesar." Still, Pilate wrote his own judgment into the superscription that would go above the Christ whose unjust execution he permitted. Pilate wrote the superscription in a way to get back at the Jews. It was Pilate's act of revenge against the Jewish leaders for their manipulation, for their forcing of his hand. "They will have Jesus crucified," Pilate thinks to himself, "but He will be crucified as their king. He will be crucified as the one that they denied that He was." And that's by God's design. Jesus' enemies cannot escape the reality that Christ is the King. And Pilate's superscription is used by God here to shine the light upon the treachery of Jesus' enemies. These men had sank so low as to cry, "We have no king but Caesar," in order to secure the murder of the true King of Israel. And now the accusation that is put upon the cross at the very time when these men seem as though they have triumphed, the very accusation overturns their triumph because it says, "This is Christ, the King." And that's why when the cross was lifted up and the Jewish leaders read the title for the first time, they were dismayed and furious. To be sure, the Bible records them scoffing. For example, Mark 15, 32, "Let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross that we may see and believe." But as they scoffed, they sent a delegation back to Pilate. They were cut to the quick by the words they read upon the superscription. They sent to Pilate immediately and tried to prevail upon him to make a subtle change to the superscription's wording. "Write not the King of the Jews, but that He said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'" Don't have the title say this is who He is. Have the title say, "This is who He said He is." And you see the difference. The Jews wanted Him executed upon the cross for the blasphemous claim to be the Son of God. Pilate says, "What I have written, I have written." And it was the end of the matter. And whatever Pilate's motives were, it is God's will that is done. God's word stands. God's word is written large. God's word is there upon the cross of His Son for all to read and for all to see. There is God's word declaring what this cross is and what this cross means and who this Christ is and what He has come to do. God accomplishes His will on Calvary. That's what we see in the title of the cross. What a beautiful hint of the victory that is coming. What a hint of Jesus' victory is inscribed upon the title of the cross. His foes had labored to silence Him. Satan himself had deployed all of his wiles against Him. You see that at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, when Satan came to Jesus and said, "Just bow to Me, just worship Me, and I will make you a king. I will give you all of the kingdoms of the world." And Jesus said, "No." Jesus refused to waver, and none of His enemies could silence Him. And now here, when it appears as though Satan is winning, it appears His enemies have at last gotten Him. There, Jesus is on the cross, and above His head is the Word of God, declaring for all to read, "This is Jesus, the King who conquers in and through death, the King who conquers upon the cross." And so we conclude tonight, seeing that the superscription upon the cross, the title upon the cross, proclaims the gospel. The superscription was a silent sermon in three languages that proclaimed, "This is Christ the King. Behold Him. Behold Him in His innocence, dying upon the accursed tree, because He has come to be made a curse for His people, that we might never be accursed, but accepted of God." The title upon the cross is a word of gospel truth inscribed there by the sovereign God to proclaim the King and His work. What a King, this King upon the cross. Jesus of Nazareth, that lowly village of disrepute, a humble King, so different than Herod, so unlike Pilate, so much greater even than His father David, no earthly King, a perfectly righteous, just King, yet deeply humble, lowly and meek, there upon the cross. Upon the cross, fulfilling the meaning of His name, Jehovah's salvation. The title upon the cross proclaims to us the gospel of forgiveness in Christ. The handwriting affixed to the cross proclaims the innocence of the King dying upon that cross. Why then is He there? Why then is He on that cross? Because of a different handwriting. It's the handwriting spoken of in Colossians 2:13 and 14, where the apostle says, "And you being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. It was that invisible handwriting of our sins, of the ordinances of the law that were against us, that invisible handwriting held Christ upon the cross, and willingly He took it, that He might blot out the handwriting that was against us. Our sins are nailed to the cross. And now the title over your head, believer, is "This is a redeemed child of God, citizen of the kingdom." That's the superscription of those who belong to Jesus. "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." Beloved, through the Word this evening, look upon the cross of Calvary. See Christ your King. See His kingly work for you. Embrace Him by faith. Rest in His finished work. Read that superscription of your perfect Savior. Know the handwriting of your sins is gone. The handwriting of the ordinances that was against you is nailed to that cross. And there is no charge. There is no charge now. No accusation that can ever stick to the child of God. Even though Satan, the accuser of the brethren, tries his hardest to make those accusations stick, believing child of God, you are covered in the blood of Christ the King and clothed in the obedience of Christ the King. Who shall lay anything to the charge? God's elect. None. None. Let us give thanks. The grace of God and the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our faithful God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the gospel of Christ. And as we have reflected a little while upon the words of the superscription, may we marvel at the wonderful works Thou hast accomplished for us. May we embrace with all our hearts the beautiful gospel of Christ. Rest in Christ crucified as the only ground and foundation of our salvation. May our lives bear fruit, fruit of love toward Thee and love toward the neighbor, a gracious spirit created by Thee, our gracious God. Grant us all this, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.